in the scriptures, we hear the words of Jesus, and it can kind of be scary. It calls us to really take a step back and reassess where we are in our faith life. How have we come to where we are today? What's the disposition of our hearts? And one of those quotes is today when he's quoting from Isaiah when he says, "The people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." It's a great point of reflection to see, do our lives, do our hearts match the words of our lips and the actions that we take? How easy it is to to fall into just the external practices of a faith. As we come into church and try to genuflect each time before we enter the pew, is our heart really being bowed down before the heavenly King? Or as we even enter the church, are we really entering into the presence of God? The temple that Solomon would built and was in awe of the fact that God could dwell on earth. Are we in awe of the fact that God dwells here? Do we just go through the motions? When we encounter our family and our friends and our coworkers, are we in awe in the masterpiece of God, of the person in front of us? Does the faith we profess really conform our hearts? Because that's what, in that first reading, he says, "You keep your covenant of mercy with your servants who are faithful to you with their whole heart." That covenant of mercy. Are we really living within the faithfulness of that covenant of mercy? It's a good point of reflection for us. How easy it is just to fall into the ritualism and not have a converted heart. And so we can look to the saints that Mother Church gives us today. As Pope Benedict would call them, the constellations of our faith. Those lights shining, guiding us in our path. St. Paul Miki, a native Japanese. The Jesuits and the Franciscans entered into Japan and were very fruitful in their conversion efforts of spreading the faith, of bringing these native people to the one true faith. And what didn't take long, within maybe 10 years or so, there were 200,000 converts, and the emperor was threatened. So he tried his best to get Christianity off of the island. He stopped all foreign travel and kicked out all of the foreign missionaries and began to slowly persecute those who held on to the faith. Paul Miki was one of those who held on to the faith. And I wanted to share a quote from him as he was dying. He said, "The only reason for my being killed is that I have taught the doctrine of Christ. I thank God it is for this reason that I die. I believe that I am telling the truth before I die. I know you believe me, and I want to say to you all once again, ask Christ to help you become happy. I obey Christ. After Christ's example, I forgive my persecutors. I do not hate them. I ask God to have pity on all. And I hope my blood will fall on my fellow men as a fruitful rain." So some of his dying, his last words. He had been marched 600 miles to the place of his persecution. It's 500 miles to Key West, 550 miles to New Orleans. We have to walk to maybe Nashville to get 600 miles from Jacksonville. That's how far they were marched and tortured as they marched, and he was still able to hold on to the faith. So much so that over 200 years later, when there was a complete ban of foreign travel, when that ban was lifted and the Christian missionaries were once again able to come to the island, they found Christians who were faithful, who were holding on to the relics of these men and women who were killed for the faith, who knew the catechism, who knew how to talk and pray to Jesus and Mary. Paul Miki's dying wish, that his blood would fall on the fellow men as a fruitful rain came true, because his heart had been converted. His life was a true mirror of the faith he professed. Let us not be like these Pharisees who only spoke but didn't do. May our lives be a fruitful rain on our fellow men. Amen.